This is Think Smart with TMFG, your weekly podcast of what's newsworthy and relevant to everyday Canadians, with your host, Senior Financial Advisor Rob McClelland and Mike Conan of Asante Capital Management. Today on Think Smart with TMFG, Mike and I will be discussing the importance of creating a well-detailed retirement plan or roadmap. Mike, I have been doing retirement planning now for 30 years. I've learned a lot. I've learned what's important, what's not important. I've learned what the individual investors need to think about as they're starting to plan for their perfect retirement. And I think there's a lot of steps that need to be followed. And let's talk about what that first step might be.
I always think of it, before I started in financial career, I used to be involved in the building industry. And it was always about a blueprint. Before you started anything, it was a matter of having a blueprint. And you had a piece of land. And before you went, you can't just go and lay a foundation and guess it's going to work and start to build from, you know, you don't have the concrete guy up show and just pour something in and say, we'll just build on top of whatever they pour. You have to start off with a plan. So I think when you're looking at starting your financial retirement, the main thing to start off with is the plan.
So when I think of some of those things, probably the one most important thing is, what are people spending today? And this number is critical to get right. So are they spending $60,000 a year? Are they spending $80,000 a year? Are they spending $100,000 a year? There's a big difference between those three numbers.
And believe it or not, this is the hardest part of the plan. People don't really know. There's some few people, maybe 5% of the people that actually keep a budget and give you a sheet. Most of the other people, we're working backwards to figure out how much they're actually spending. They'll make, let's say a couple is making $200,000 a year. You know they're paying $60,000. So you know they have, that brings down $140,000. You know they're saving $30,000. So now you're $110,000. So now you know they're spending about $110,000 a year.
And what's the number most people come up with?
Oh, they'll say they spend $60,000.
So there's a $50,000 gap or a $40,000 gap. And we see this all day long. So the most important number is to figure out, based on where you are today, what are you spending every year? So we got that number.
Yeah.
Then we go to, well, what else do you want to spend money on? And so often, well, we've been able to travel a little bit, but now we're going to have more free time. Our friends are going on lots of trips. We'd like to do that. So you got to create a budget around that. And I've seen budgets as low as $10,000 a year and as high as $120,000 a year.
It's funny, the one thing that would throw people off is it's very difficult to make wealthy people retire. It's much easier to make people on average incomes retire. And the difference is the spending, right? As people make a lot more money, they spend a lot more. It's very difficult to change your lifestyle once you hit retirement. If you're used to driving a new Lexus or new BMW all the time, it's a very hard thing to get people to go, okay, now you're retired, you're not bringing that money anymore. You're going to have to change your future expectations, what you're going to drive and how you're going to spend money.
So let's start out. Let's say you've got a goal of $100,000 a year. That's going to cover your travel, everything you need, your living expenses, everything's been factored in. That's it's the most difficult part, but it's the critical part to starting a good plan. What's the next thing you need to do, Mike?
Next thing to do is look at your current situation, and you have to see the amount of debt you have, see what type of savings you have, take a look at your income levels, and that's the next piece to start to work with. You know what you're spending, and now you have to know what you currently have.
So call it a net worth statement. A lot of people haven't put together a net worth statement. They haven't looked at, you know, what's the value of their home if they have a vacation property? What are their liabilities on any of those or debt? What assets do they have personally? For both, if there's two partners, what do they each have? Do they have any company assets? If they own a corporation, what's its potential value down the road? So you need to create a net worth statement. Again, that's something financial advisors are typically very good at.
Yep.
Because they're going to drill down and try and get what's that really worth? Some things are easy to value because they're on a statement. the value of your house, your vacation property, your corporation, those things are much more difficult to value. And you need to be conservative on that. Well, someone once offered me $2 million for my house. Well, that helps. But if it's only worth $1.6 million today, that's what we're going to put into the plan.
Yeah. I guess next stage that we're going to go to is next you have to pick a date. What's your plan? Do you want to retire 55? Do you want to retire 60, 65, 70? What do you want to do?
We talked about on a previous podcast about based on, you know, if you retire at a certain age, how many years you may have left. So the later you delay your retirement, you won't need as much money because you don't have as many years left. So figure out when you want to retire and is it a full retirement? We have a lot of clients who go into a semi-retirement. So they're only working 2 to 3 days a week, or they do some consulting, or they take on a new part-time job. So there's lots of different ways to do that. What's your preference? What do you want to do? Are you and your partner retiring in the same year, or is there a gap between when you're going to do that? All of that plays a critical role.
So now we have three pieces, right? So let's talk about what we have to play with. Number one, we have how much you spend, right? So we have that piece. Next, we have the piece of how much you're worth, net worth statement. Then we have the third piece is when you want to retire. And I guess in there is how much you're making along the way too. So now you have to play with those pieces to see what you can adjust, because there's only so many pieces to adjust in here.
I think the next piece, and this comes off the net worth statement, is you start to look at all the different possible income sources. Do you have RSPs? Do you have a pension plan? Are you eligible for the Canada pension plan? Are you likely to receive old age security from your investments? Do you have an open account? Are you going to be able to take money from that? Do you have a registered disability savings plan? All of those things are critically important so you can help determine how much of that money is going to come in, how much of it is guaranteed, is any of it protected from inflation? So we know government benefits are, but if you make too much money, the government claws back your old age security. So all of that needs to be mapped out and figured out into a financial plan.
So I guess the next piece we have, when we talked about this on our last podcast, was what are your rate of return expectations? What can you handle in your portfolio?
So, you know, we'll maybe use the example. We had $100,000 that we needed in retirement. Let's say we're going to be in a 60-40 portfolio, 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds. So you're going to have moderate returns or balanced returns. Maybe today your expectations would be somewhere between 5% and 6.5%. You next need to figure out what's a sustainable withdrawal rate from your portfolio. If you've retired early, you may have up to 20, 25 years in retirement or even longer. What's the most you could possibly take out per year? So all of that needs to be factored in.
So as you start to walk through these things, I always think of the things you can change and the things you can't change. So you start off net worth. Your current net worth, you can't really do anything about. It is what it is. Right? There's going to be your salaries, and that's, you know, you hope to go up and things like that, but it's limited how much you can actually do with that. You're going to pay taxes. You're going to do all that stuff. Few things you can play with that are interesting though are expenses, right? That's one of the things you can play with. You can lower your expenses. And the interesting thing about lowering your expenses, we had that other piece where we talked about your savings strategies you have along the way. The only way to be able to increase your savings strategy is lower your expenses. So those two are so linked together.
So it works pre-retirement and it actually works in retirement.
Yeah, right through. So those are the two things you can adjust. The other interesting thing you can adjust is that age thing we talked about. You know, 55, 60, 65, 70, whatever age that is, that's one of the things that you can play with along the way to make your plan more successful or less successful.
Can you play with the portfolio? Yeah. Is that a good strategy?
I don't think it's a great strategy because, again, this is with expectations. And when you play with the portfolio, you're adding an extra element of risk. For every extra return that you throw in there, you go and add an element of risk that things may not work out. It's interesting. We run these NAVA plans, and it's a great program. And we do Monte Carlo success rates. And sometimes when you add a higher return rate, or let's say a better return, your Monte Carlo drops. And which seems odd. You've put a higher rate of return. How could you be less successful? But what happens sometimes when you're at risk, when you're, let's say, you don't have a very successful plan, sometimes that additional risk is too much to take on.
You run the risk that if you have a couple of bad years, your capital goes down dramatically, and then you can't maintain that withdrawal rate that you wanted to maintain. So a lot of that has to do with how much of that income is guaranteed, how much is indexed to inflation. So we can play with the retirement date, we can play with expenses, you can play a little bit with the portfolio, but you shouldn't play too much with it. What else is coming your way, Mike? What haven't we talked about?
Well, again, there's things that come into the plan, like inheritances.
Okay.
So that may affect your future. Again, it's things I don't like to set a plan on because many things can change along the way. Some people I've had that expected big inheritance got a lot less than they expected. Sometimes taking care of their parents has become a lot more expensive. There's nothing left over. So that's a risky thing to put into a plan. And I mean, some people like to add beyond the retirement plan, they like to go into estate plan and see how much they're going to leave over because not everyone wants to leave nothing and die spending the last penny. Some people want to make sure there's something left over at the end of the life.
So I've looked at the plan. I've taken all that into account, got the right portfolio. I've got the income that I want. We haven't discussed taxes. You have a partner in your retirement plan, and it's called your federal and provincial government. And they have a detailed plan as to how much money they're going to take from you in your retirement. And your job and your advisor's job is to minimize that tax bill as much as possible. It's important pre-retirement. It's really important retirement because that's an additional dollar that you get to spend.
Remember, when you're working, your employer is creating your tax rate. When you're retired, you're creating your own tax rate because you have a withdrawal strategy that's going to take out of a combination of registered plans, RIFs, locked in, LIRAs, LIFs, things like that, that are going to actually produce taxable income. You're going to have withdrawals that are going to come out of open accounts, which are going to have capital gains attributed to them, but they're all taxed at different rates. So if you work very well with a good advisor, they can find a way to really maximize your marginal tax rates. We all have these marginal tax rates. And the only good thing about our tax system is the marginal tax rates. And in retirement, you can really take advantage of that.
As I look at individuals, those who tend to have the most options are those who have multiple sources of income. So if they have RSPs, they have tax-free savings account, they have an open account, maybe they have a small pension plan, maybe they have a registered disability savings plan, and then throw in a couple of government benefits, you got a lot of different taps you can work with.
Yep.
To get the temperature exactly right. And what does that mean? You want the cash flow to minimize the taxes, not just in any given year, but over the course of someone's lifetime.
And if you have a spouse, again, it makes things much easier. You can income split. Once you're over 65, you can split your RIF income, which helps tremendously.
One of the factors that's very different for Canadian investors is we don't have to spend a ton of money on healthcare. In that once you're over the age of 65, most of what you need is available through our healthcare system. Now, if you're used to having better than average care, or and some people would say it's below average care, regardless of what it is, if you're used to having your own private room, if you happen to be in a hospital, there's a cost to that. And you need to build that cost in because you can't just pay for that private room when you're in hospital. You actually have to have insurance that's going to cover that. So you need to figure some of that into your plan. It's also important to look at your family history. What did your parents go through? And that's for two partners. They're looking at four different parents that'll help to at least get an idea on what they could expect.
Funny, over the years, we've always done when we plan, we always leave the house in the plan. And the house is our emergency fund when people need to go in for, let's say, long-term care afterwards. And usually there's a house value of $1 million. By the time they get to that point in life, they're usually around getting close to 90. And that $1 million would fund the care needed to get them through the rest of life. And that's always a nice safety that's usually built into the plans. Our one scary thought always with clients is if If one client gets sick and one client is still well, that makes for a very difficult plan.
We've had a lot of clients that have had to sell their house at some point because they go into long-term care. And if both of them are going into a place, it can be very expensive. So having a backup plan is critical. I also don't think, back on the housing situation, that downsizing your house should be a big financial win in retirement, other than it helps to reduce your housing expenses. But if you're thinking you're going to walk out of there with $300,000 to $500,000 after you downsize, rarely do I see that. The money disappears faster than you can say. And we've talked about this a lot. You're buying new cars, you're renovating your new place, your kids need money at the time, everything hits.
I've yet to ever see it work out.
So let's go back to where we started. This retirement planning, it's a lot of work. If you want to have a successful retirement, you need to put the time and effort in. Your job as the client is really figure out what you're spending and what you want to spend. Once you've got that, you work with your advisor, lots of discussions to get a plan. A plan is never perfect when it's first done. It takes many iterations over the years. Even the first 5 years is going to help make your financial plan better because you really see how things unfold. One of the questions people always say to me is, Rob, like, I'm retiring, but where's the money coming from? And we always think as advisors, haven't we explained all of this, where it's coming from? But they're always concerned, well, how does it flow to me? What we do with most of our clients, we try and flow it monthly. It's the best strategy. And if you need a lump sum in between, that's fine too. But you earned your money in your lifetime typically on a monthly basis.
It's funny. You sometimes need professionals, and it's hard to accept you need professionals. And it was funny. I was watching, I think it was a TikTok video or something the other day, and it was just about, they had a racetrack, and they had those professional go-karts. They're sort of like little indie cars, and they had your drivers would go out, and guys would try to do the track, and they would race as fast. They couldn't, we all think we're okay drivers, and they were like us, and they did the track, and I think it was a minute and 10 seconds. Then they put the same car, an actual race car driver in it, and he did the same track in 40 seconds. And it was such a difference between a professional, and we can all drive. These guys that were driving were fine drivers. But as soon as you put a real professional in that seat, it was a whole different game. And I find with financial planning, you have this situation. Yeah, everyone understands finance and they understand it, but they're at the regular driver's level of things. And if you get the professional in there, they can do a lot more for anywhere you need to be.
That brings us to the end of another week. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, reminding you to subscribe so that you can have your best retirement ever.
You've been listening to the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the previous information, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances. The opinions expressed are those of the authors and not necessarily those of Asante Capital Management Limited.